In verse number 35 of Mark chapter number 4, I want to read this. And before I do, I want you to understand that I'm well aware that Brother Coulter opened with this text on Wednesday night. I'm also well aware that before he opened with the text on Wednesday night, I had read the text and God had spoken to my heart in a very real way. And I've chewed on it all week, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Reminded me, my dad had a friend who was a truck driver. His name was Eddie Dunn. He was a little fella. And he and my dad both at one time were lost without God and living ungodly lives. He'd drive a tractor and trailer in and out of the plant where my dad worked in Baltimore. To show you how they would do, Brother Rick, Dad would act like a box was real heavy and it would be light. And, you know, the little fella would jerk it up under his chin. Dad was big and strong, and he'd act like something was real light, and it'd be real heavy, and it'd about pull the guy off a truck. He didn't have as much sand in his britches, Brother Jim, as you do, amen? Little fella, amen? Well, one day he was telling my dad about, how many remembers when the little pecan pies had a cardboard bottom on them? That was before they put the aluminum bottom on them. They had a cardboard bottom on them. He was telling my dad he was getting close to the house one day on a delivery. He said he only liked about 3 hours being home. His wife had a big meal. And he said, I figured I'd just, instead of getting a meal, getting a hamburger or something, ruining my dinner, he said, I'd just get me a couple of them little pecan pies and a Pepsi and I'll go on in and enjoy my meal. Well, he ate one of the pecan pies and it did real good. But he said he bit into the second one. He said he chewed and he chewed and he chewed. He said the more he chewed, the bigger it got. And he realized he hadn't taken the cardboard bottom off of it. Brother Grizzle, I believe this book's that way. I believe we chew on it. The more we chew on it, the bigger it gets. It'll speak to our hearts. It'll help us in our time of need. The Bible said, the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. I'm glad I'm going to the other side. I'm glad I know where I'm going to land. I don't know where I'm going to be, Brother Steve, when I take off. I don't know when it's going to be. But I thank God Almighty this morning, I know where I'm going to land on the other side. The Bible said, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. I love that little phrase, other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. Over in the book of Matthew, the Bible called it a great tempest at the sea. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. I'm not sure sometimes when we read the Bible if we understand, or if we take the time to just slow down. Are you beginning to see that if something that's supposed to float on top of the water is full of water, that it's in danger of sinking? I read that this week. I thought about that song that said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he's what makes the difference in this text, and he's what made the difference in my life. He heard my cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. The word of God said that he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I'm going to tell you something right here. Listen to me carefully. Jesus at first rebukes the sea, but then he rebukes the saints. I believe our God is still in the rebuking business. Not many of us would have served him very long if we didn't have a Savior that was willing to straighten us out when we needed to be straightened out. And the Word of God said, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Our Father, I want to thank you this morning for our people. Lord, our ladies, our Father, that have ministered for well over a week now to families, Lord, that are grieving, families that are hurting. Lord, I don't believe we could ever be more like Jesus than when we're trying to be a blessing, be a help to someone else along life's way. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them. I pray, God, you'll bless the families who are grieving this morning. I pray, God, you'll bless those, our Father, who feel like the ship is full of water this morning. Feel like our Father that there's no way to overcome the storm. I pray, Lord, today you'd speak to our heart. Help us, our Father. Lord, help that young man, that young woman that does not know Christ. Please help them to understand, God, the storms are coming. And Lord, we pray you'd help them to put their trust in thee. Help us, Lord, that have been born again, been saved by the grace of God, to realize, our Father, the storm is not always an obstacle, but many times it's an opportunity. Help us to see the opportunities, our Father, in the storms. And Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe the reason the Lord put this text on my heart was Dustin's homegoing. I've got a call from Brother Houston on Monday. Pastor, have you heard? At first there was some uncertainties, and then one thing became evidently certain, that he had left this walk of life. And I believe the reason the Lord put this text on my heart is because this storm was unexpected. We did not expect. I've been praying, oh God, protect us from this virus. Help us, God, not to lose any of our people to this virus. Yet one of our young men has gone home. Didn't have anything to do with the virus. I don't know what happened, but I know the one who does know what happened. It was unexpected. These are men that are doing their best to follow Jesus. They had been with him as he preached on the shore of Galilee. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And they got in the boat and headed out to the other side. I see just three things I want to concentrate on this morning in the message. The suddenness of the storm. How many times has pastor told this church this phone can ring and turn your life upside down in a moment of time? The suddenness. It was unexpected. It was sudden. The Sea of Galilee is 12 miles long, 8 miles wide, 700 feet below sea level. And the mountains on the side where the Golan Heights are, 12 or 1,400 feet above sea level. And they say that east wind will come across those mountains and dip down. There's cold air meeting warm air. And all of a sudden, there's a storm. I had the privilege to go to Israel years ago. A couple in Kingsport paid my way. They have a little boat. They call it the Jesus boat. It's wooden. It putt-putts on the sea. And if I never move from where I'm standing, we actually experienced a storm at sea. We were sailing from one side to the other. There's no way they would have put those, tourists on that boat and headed out to the other side had they known that storm was coming. I can remember well, Brother Steve, the look on faces. You could almost look at faces and tell who could swim and who couldn't swim. I want to tell you this morning. In the storms of life, we can't swim without Him. We need Him. We need Him. There was a lot of praying went on that boat. The suddenness of the storm, a great tempest at sea. When someone is up in their 80s or 90s, you kind of expect them at some point to be leaving out of this world and going on to their new home. But I don't know about you. I don't expect that at 39. I don't expect that. Amen? It's unexpected. And the unexpected many times produces the unexplained. And when we cannot explain it, God is asking of us that we might trust Him. I'm looking at faces. So much went on before I became your pastor, but I'm thinking about things that have gone on since I've had the blessed privilege to be pastor. Unexpected. But God, He can help us. Amen. The suddenness of the storm. I want you to think about this. I'm going to give you something right here that will really, really help you if you'll let me. I want you to look at the sadness in the storm. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. They were so busy, they were probably trying to bail water out. My dad and I were doing that with a coffee can. And literally the waves in that old boat, I won't tell the whole story. They were coming over the front and coming down in, and Dad's trying to work on a motor with one hand. I've got the steering wheel, and he's trying to bail the water out with the other hand with a coffee can. But there's something really, really sad that goes on in the middle of this storm. Everybody listening? Everybody's listening? Let me tell you what's sad. When someone looks at Jesus, it says, don't you care? Amen. Brother Ralph, that's exactly what the devil wants to do. It's back us up in a place where he can convince us that our Savior does not care. Amen. In the midst of that storm. Carest thou not that we perish? I asked my wife last week. I said, you know, honey, I said, I'm wondering if Judas was on the boat. I don't know why that thought hit my mind, Brother Steve, but it did. And my wife said, well, I don't know. She said, the Bible don't say. Well, I looked at something yesterday afternoon. The Bible said in verse number 35, and the same day when the evening was come. Do you see that right there? Well, if you back up in the text, Jesus is on the seashore teaching them the parable of the sower. And if you look at verse number 10, the Bible said, "And when he was alone, they that were with him, with the 12, asked of the parable." So, Brother Rick, all 12 of them were on the boat. There were others, but the 12 disciples were on the boat. 11 of those disciples were the real deal. One of them was not. I got to thinking about how many people in churches across America and around the world think they're going to ride the church's coattail to heaven. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. This Bible teaches that the devil sows the tares among the wheat. In the midst of the storm, there are those that are ready, and there are those that are not ready. I'm not a fool. I know the storms are coming. But I know this as well. I know him, and he knows me. I'll go through the storm, but I'll not go through it alone. And my prayer is that my enemy and your enemy, lost or saved this morning, you have an enemy. My prayer is that that enemy, Brother Preston, will never be able to convince me that the one that died for me on Calvary does not care. Or cause me to ask the question, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish?" There is a sadness in the storm. A sadness that comes, listen to this word. It's a powerful word. It applies not only to the sinner, but it applies to the saints. And that word is unbelief. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we read the text and somebody, maybe Peter or maybe John, somebody stood up in the midst of it, the waves are coming in, the boat's full, and said, "Boys, don't worry, our Savior said we're going to the other side. Do what you can, but don't worry about it. We're going to the other side." Because that's what Jesus said. Where is that kind of faith today in the church? They say, "God, you said it, and that settles it." That's what we need, isn't it? You say, "Preacher, when are we going to come out of this COVID mess? I have no idea, but I'm going to the other side." "What's going to happen to our country?" "I have no idea, but I'm going to the other side." I do know this. In the end time, you can't find anybody to stand with Israel. She stands alone with her God. We're going to the other side. The storm, the suddenness of the storm, the sadness in the storm. It's sad that there was a man on the boat that close to Jesus, and yet he did not know him. Sad that people can come and go and come and go and come and go in Bible believing, Bible preaching, Bible teaching churches and come so close to Jesus, but they don't know him. They don't know him. I'll tell you this, the devil does not care how many churches you join. He does not care how many times you get dipped in a pool of water. He just don't want you to be born again. He don't want your life to be changed. He don't want your name to be found written in the book of life when this thing is over. He'll do anything in his power to keep you from it. That's sad. The sadness in the storm. The other evening, I got something on my heart, on my mind, and I called Sister Danita because my memory's not what it used to be, and I knew that Dustin had played Jesus in the play, but I didn't know how many times. And Sister Danita said, "Pastor, I'm not sure exactly, but several times," she said, "he's played Jesus in the play." She said he also played the Pharisee. And as soon as Sister Danita said that, Brother Rick, this is the thought that went through my mind. He couldn't have done as good as Bob. Bob was the best Pharisee I've ever seen in my life. Amen. And just so happened he wasn't saved at the time. It ain't no wonder he's so good at it. Was he not a good Pharisee? She also told me that Brother Dustin had narrated the part of the angel at times during the play. Church, we're in a storm. I'm begging you, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. I'm begging you, do not let the enemy back you up in the corner. Brother Preston, you've had some rough days the last few weeks. Don't let that rascal back you up in the corner, hurting in excruciating pain, and cause you to wonder, where's my God? Where's my Savior? Does he even care? That's exactly what he wants to do. You know where he'll go from there? He'll go to things like this. Where's my husband? Where's my pastor? Where's my wife? Where's my children? How many knows I'm telling it right? Honey, he's a liar and the father of a lie. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He wants to destroy the fellowship in the church. He wants to destroy the fellowship in the home. He wants to destroy our fellowship with God's people. And I'm so glad. This is for you, Brother Colt. You're doing a great job, brother. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We're going to make it. You say, how in the world are we going to make it? By the grace of God. The songwriter said, grace has brought us safe this far, and grace is going to lead us home. Hallelujah. Not going to get there on my merit, but I'm going to get there on His grace. The suddenness of the storm, the sadness in the storm. I thought about the struggles that all of us face. I thought about when Brother Dustin got saved. Brother Steve, I'm not sure if you were here or not, but I remembered Brother Larry Winkle being here, and Brother Billy Mitchell was here, and I remembered the struggle that went on. You say, preacher, what do you mean struggle? Everybody that's ever been saved struggle with sin. You know what part of our problem is when we're having a trouble getting saved? We don't want to part with our sin. We love our sin. And nobody can be born again loving their sin. Like Brother Mitchell used to say, you got to take sides with God against yourself. Realize you can be the best moral person in the whole wide world. One thing we all got in common, we're sinners. And we come short of the glory of God. Amen, Josh. Took a while, didn't it, son? But one day God dropped the hammer. No more excuses. You're lost. You need to be saved. Struggle with faith. I was there. Brother Dustin struggled with his health. I can remember the look on his face, excruciating pain, just trying to stay on his knees. But thank God, God broke through. And he raised up. You ask Brother Larry about it, brother. I talked to him the other day just to make sure. Because sometimes I get details wrong. But he raised up. I'm saved. Love the Lord, love the church, love to sing, love to do his part. Brother Rick, if I get this right, I think Sister Danita said he texted her on November the 9th, wanted to know about the play. She let him know that because of surgery, she wasn't going to be able to do it this year. I want you to think about something, beloved. The suddenness of the storm. The sadness in the storm. I want you to think about this, and I'm done. I want you to think of the soberness in the storm. You say, Pastor, what do you mean, the soberness? The Bible talks about you and I thinking soberly. See, the devil, he sows thoughts in our minds. They're crazy. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I believe that's why the divorce courts are full. He'll tell you anything. I believe that's why a lot of times people never get settled down in the house of God. Because old Slewfoot will tell you anything. I was talking to Brother Steve a while ago about what we're wanting to do for Christmas. And I said, Brother Steve, we have to make sure we don't miss anybody. Because you can do 10,000 things good and right, but you miss that one. We don't want to miss anybody. God knows our hearts. The soberness. You say, Preacher, where did you get that? Jesus. He arose and he rebuked the wind and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. Here's something I want you to think soberly about. Brother Steve, when God helps you in your storm, there's some other little ships around. He's also helping them. There's no way that this great tempest came and was only affecting the boat that the disciples were in. All the little ships were fighting a battle that day. But when Jesus said, peace, be still, the entire sea just settled down. The wind stopped blowing. All I'm saying is this, beloved, if you and I will stay close to God in the storm, there'll be some other little ships that'll get some help. Elizabeth pulled up this morning at the house to get a cake that Miss Eve had made for a family for a baby's first birthday. And I didn't know it. Eve got in the car. I'd already gotten in the car, and I've been having a little bit of trouble out of my throat this morning. So I asked Miss Eve to fix me some hot tea with honey in it. And she did. And I was sipping on that tea, and Eve got in the car. Elizabeth backed down the driveway. She said, Amelia's crying. I didn't even know Amelia was in the car with Elizabeth. And I said, why? She said, she wants to stay at Mamaw's and Papaw's. She don't understand why you pull up and then just leave. How many knows it would have been a little bit different if I'd known that baby's in that car? I'm telling you, there's some little ships around me and around you that are watching us when the storms come. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. It's sobering to think that when you and I ought to have faith, many times it's replaced with fear. Jesus said, why are ye... Now listen to me. I've done it. I've put emphasis on the John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? It puts an extra emphasis. Jesus didn't say, why are you fearful? He said, why are you so fearful? The boat was full of water and the disciples were full of fear. You say, Preacher, are you criticizing? No, I'm trying to learn from them. It's a sobering thought to think that Jesus not only rebukes the sea, but he rebukes the saints. God only asks us to believe him. Is that not right? He said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He said, without faith it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know where our problem comes? The storm comes and we stop seeking him. We need to diligently seek him. And let me say this. I don't think there's any harm in this. If not for ourselves, Brother Larry, the other little ships. Because God's going to help them too when they see the faith in others. The Word of God said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'd like to just answer that question and I'm finished this morning. First of all, there's no other man. Nick, there's no other man, son, that can take us to the other side. Only Jesus can take us to the other side. And it's good to see you boys this morning. I mean that. I miss you when you're here. There's not another man that could take us to the other side. Jesus is the only one. Number two, there's no other man that cares for us like Jesus. You'll never find another. The songwriter got it right when he said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Thirdly, there's no one that can bring peace in the midst of the storm like Jesus. The McCameys sang a song years ago, and it's been years ago, sometimes he calms the storm. And that's a blessing, isn't it? But then the next line in the song said this, sometimes he calms me. Both ways will work. If the storm is calm, that's good. If we can be calm in the midst of the storm, believing God, that's good as well. There's no other man that can save us from our sin. Only Jesus. The Word of God said this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you saved? Brother Gary, are you saved? You know what, brother? I believe it. There's evidence. There's fruit. Brother Rose, you'll never know what a blessing you've been to me. I believe you're saved, brother. There's evidence. There's fruit. Storms come. Sometimes they rage. And we're all cut out differently. It's a lot harder for the devil to back some of us up in the corner than it is others. But if you're born again, you're God's child. And he wants you to trust him. Trust him in the midst of the storm. How many's glad you come this way today?